DW Africa Link.
Every day in Malawi, countless lives are thrown into turmoil by a silent crisis. A crisis rooted in restricted choices, unsafe procedures, and a healthcare system overwhelmed by preventable tragedies. At the heart of this issue lies a question of access, stigma, and survival. Why are unsafe abortions on the rise in Malawi? And what are the human stories behind the statistics? These are not just numbers, but real people with real struggles. Let's uncover the answers. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Once women become pregnant without intending to be, an estimated 37% interrupt such pregnancies. This proportion has risen significantly over the past 3 decades. Such an increase could seriously affect the well-being of women who face barriers to safe abortion, as is the case in Malawi. In 2024, the country recorded over 52,000 abortion cases, twice the number of cases registered in 2021. The highest burdens of unsafe abortion are Malawi's capital city, Lilongwe, and Blantyre, the country's second largest city. Now, to help us break down the situation in the country, we invited Judith Nalikungwi, a health practitioner in Blantyre, and our own DW's correspondent, George Mango, who has covered the story extensively. But I can start with you, Judith, as a health practitioner. How is the situation ground?
I would say issues of abortion are common in our healthy settings, and it's not something new. We have been hearing this. And it's an issue that as a country, as a healthy facilities, we need to manage and attend to patients who comes in our facilities with issues concerning to abortion or unsafe abortion.
For someone who's already in the industry, Judith, I know our listeners would really want to get a grasp of this issue is in terms of exactly what are the driving factors towards unsafe abortions.
It all depends on the individual. Some are students. Mm-hmm. They would opt to do abortion because they want to continue with education. And sometimes they would opt for unsafe abortion because they don't have access to the safe abortion, despite maybe having the other institutions like the Bantalanso goal, whereby they normally attend to reproductive healthy women, reproductive age group rather, they would go and seek for that treatment or management in case they want to abort based on various reasons that they have. But mainly I would say, despite it's happening according to the data, it's happening maybe commonly, it's in Blantyre City and Lilongwe City, but it's also happening in other districts where I've seen that some, they would go for abortion because they have been unfaithful. Assuming a husband is outside the country, I'll give you example of Nzimba and Lumpi, where most of the men, they go looking for greener pastures in South Africa. They will leave their wives behind. And after staying so long, the wives, they will indulge in other extramarital affairs. And when they get pregnant, they will decide to abort, afraid of being known by the family relatives who are there, relations to the husband, or being known that they are pregnant while their man is outside the country. Others, it's because, maybe it's because of the poverty. They would go and say, I'm not ready to have this child. Others, it's because they are sex workers. So they feel that if they are pregnant, then they will not be active in the sexual activity. They can't go to a drinking place while they are pregnant. And they won't even have the men going for them because they are pregnant. So they would choose to say, let me abort the pregnancy. But unfortunately, they use the TANSAFE methods.
Tell us about the safe methods that are approved in Malawi.
Okay, according to the information that I know, mainly a woman would undergo safe abortion when there is a condition that will affect her health rather. When there is a condition, like assuming at the early stages, the woman develops preeclampsia, and then the medical practitioners will decide that let's terminate the pregnancy.
So it's only because you have a health condition that is
when... Yes, when there is a health condition that will affect the mother, or else with the advanced ultrasound scanning whereby they would see that there's a malformation to the fetus. I remember we had a certain gynecologist in the past from India. She was able to detect at the early stages that this baby has a lot of malformation and it's not worth keeping the baby. They would go for that after counseling to the parents. When they decide, they agree, they would do that. So I think mainly that's it.
Of course, not to justify the fact that someone is cheated, like you said, and then they are trying to get rid of this evidence that they had sex with another man and whatever. Would you say they have a choice because there are no legal options or legal methods in Malawi for someone to say, okay, you know what, I'm not ready for this baby? Besides even like infidelity, there are some times when someone feels like I will not be able to take care of this child and therefore I really cannot continue with this pregnancy. In other words, you're saying in Malawi there is no such option besides only health complications.
I would say yes, because there is no such role that will guide this woman. But maybe because before we go to thinking of abortion, there are alternatives if you don't want to get pregnant. They can use contraceptive, they can use protection. But sometimes I don't know whether it's the information that people they don't have on safe sex, they would choose go do without protection. And then when they get pregnant, think of unconventional means. But I've earlier said that there's Banjalan Sogoro and it's almost in every district.
Mistakes happen. Sorry, I'm not really like to say like I'm taking a side or rather saying abortion is good, but I'm just saying, you know, mistakes happen. Even sometimes contraceptives as well, they say, I'm a woman, when I go to my gynecologist, she tells me that it's not 100%, you know, it's not 100% effective. Something can happen. Mistakes do happen. And even if you're on contraceptive and I mistakenly fall pregnant and I'm not ready for this baby, then what should I do?
Okay, maybe in that context, I don't know. But to my side, I feel most of the people who do the unsafe abortions, it's because they didn't think of it or they didn't plan that I'm not ready to have a baby.
They are more of reckless in your opinion and not just responsible.
Because I think the majority of the people we meet with unsafe abortions complications, they are young. And some, they are not even married.
And which groups are we talking about? Which age bracket is at risk of unsafe abortion according to the... situations that you've seen in Malawi?
Yeah, it's mostly, I would say, 18 to 24, some even 15 down. So you would see a teenage coming. Maybe she's at school. Or I earlier said that they are married, but their husband are not within. So they're still sexually active.
Right. Yes. And what do you as a health worker face really when helping such people, or Judith, who are referred to health facilities?
I think I can answer in terms of maybe two ways. As a provider, I'm supposed to provide the necessary care when this particular woman or a lady comes who is in a reproductive age. She comes with a condition, I need to assist. But sometimes you feel maybe after getting the history, you start judging this individual that is saying they did this deliberately and they are making our work more. because sometimes as a health worker, we become overwhelmed. And on the other side, I would say what we face is maybe challenge of the resource. It can be the human resource on ground as well as the materials that we need to use when providing this care to this particular woman who has presented to the institution.
Right, right, right. Now, George, you are our correspondent on the ground, and as a male journalist, we are talking about abortion here. What motivated you to come up with this story?
There are three factors which made me to come up with this kind of a story, one of which is the growing debate on the ground whether to constitution or not to have a law. And religious organizations have also gone out throttle on the ground. Others are saying, no, it's unbiblical to engage in abortions. Other religious bodies are also saying it's okay. So there is some kind of a growing debate within the religious circles, just like mere public people on the ground. So that kind of a debate made me to say, okay, fine, let me come up with this story. And of course, I've been traveling to different areas where civic or human rights organizations are conducting public debates to get the mode in which they involve chiefs. And more of the chiefs in Malawi are for the issue of having a law to say when a woman or a girl is really at the center of maybe losing her life, why can't we go for abortion? Others are saying it's not important. So those kind of issues did make me to come up with this story. And also looking at the figures themselves, which are very, you know, alarming. You're talking about those of between 15 to 49 who are at the high risk. So this is a productive age. It's really what made this story.
Right. So tell us more about the stories that you've been obviously covering in different areas of Malawi, whether in Lilongwe, whether in Blantyre. What exactly is the situation on ground?
When I was doing some stories with the teenagers, most of them said maybe lack of parental guidance or lack of counseling services in different areas. Lack of even maybe, you know, enough medical personnel to sensitize the public to the dangers of unsafe abortions. So those are the stories that I've been imaging or I've been writing, talking about how unsafe or bad it is to engage in such, you know, practices. And of course, the other stories that I've also highlighted, it's about the pregnancy and termination bill. So the legal affairs of parliament has also been on the ground trying to find out the mood so that when this bill is tabled in parliament, at least they have to have a clear picture as to what should the country do. So just those two stories. These have been burning stories coupled with the story of, you know, the conflict that is there between the Muslim community and then the Christian community. Because on the other part, the Christian community totally says no. There is no need to have this law. The Muslim community, to some extent, they're saying that we need to have this law, you see. So those are the major stories that I've been covering across the country through debates and then what the legal affairs in parliament is talking about, plus the religious aspect to it. Of course, there is also some kind of stigma. Some youths don't want even to come out clearly as to what is their point on this one. So that's another challenge that is currently happening on the ground.
Right, right. Now, I come back to you, Judith. George touched on counseling and lack of awareness, especially when it comes to teenagers. What kind of counseling do you offer?
Thank you. Normally, when a teenager comes to a health facility, either post-abortal or before even getting pregnant, they are able to access the reproductive health services. And most of the health facility in Malawi, even in rural areas, they are youth-friendly services whereby they are encouraged to visit such facilities, seek help, get contraceptive, get some pills. But whenever this lady comes, during the postnatal care, they are counseled on delay of getting another pregnancy. And when they are also offered psychological support as well as contraceptives. So they make a choice on which contraceptive means to use so that they prevent the unwanted pregnancy. And whenever they are also told on what to do in case they meet situations like issues of rape, whereby they haven't planned, is something accidental, or they have been forced into that.
Right. So in other words, also rape issues, rape cases, there is a law that allows them to abort, right?
On the law, not much of the knowledge, but I know when somebody has been raped, we have facilities whereby they are told to visit. And during that visit, they are assessed and they are even given treatment on the either sexually transmitted, or sometimes the emergency contraceptive. That's when they visit the facility within the 3 days, they are assisted in that way.
Mm. Right. Now, in your understanding, Judith, what could be the best way of dealing with this? Because figures of those who die annually, as indicated, are scaring. What can be done?
Okay. First, I think there's need to sensitize the general public, either through the community itself or through our friends, the media, because people, they have to know the dangers of unsafe abortions.
Mm-hmm.
But before coming to the unsafe abortions, they need to know what they can do to prevent the unwanted pregnancy. So to me, I would suggest the first option is people knowing the dangers of becoming pregnant when you are not ready for that.
Yeah, but Judith, just on that point, George mentioned that a lot of teenagers are complaining about that, like lack of awareness. But is this a topic that you think is so open between mothers and their children and their daughters to say, you know what, you'd rather go for contraceptive to avoid pregnancy, or it's a topic that is taboo in Malawi?
It's a topic that it's a taboo because the majority of women, they are not, I would say they are illiterate. And they can't openly talk to their children, the girl child, about contraceptive. And if we add on the religious belief, it's something that is unacceptable. But for a girl who has gone to tertiary education, they normally know what to do. And for somebody who has gone through tertiary education, for her to do the unsafe abortion, then I think the girl has a problem. Because they know they have been learning even in school, unless in the local villages whereby they don't know, they are not exposed, they don't have much information.
Right, right. Now, George, as you heard our health practitioner here mentioning about sensitizing and also partnering with media, is the media in Malawi doing anything to sensitize young girls and women about unsafe abortion?
Yes, the media is doing tremendous work through print, radio, TV, or even online publications, because various organizations, even the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, World Health Organizations, you know, they kind of like have some media groups or associations that champion issues of health. So they come up with documentaries. They come up with maybe some feature stories for print publications. And they also, you know, host some live shows on TV or radio just to, you know, ask the public about what do they feel about that kind of a topic. So people do engage, come in with their views, and they express. Government of Malawi itself through the Ministry of Health has also, you know, taken journalists to different parts of the country. You know, even Parliament itself has taken journalists, you know, to different, you know, areas where maybe these debates are going to take place or do take place to do with the pregnancy and termination bill. So those are the kind of stories, occasions, or engagements that are there between the media and the policymakers.
Right, right. Now, Judith, if you can just tell us also from your end, as someone who's been doing this for a while, what is that one story you can tell us of a girl who's gone through this and the end result, something that you felt was successful or life lost. Can you just maybe give us one story?
I think I would say then self-abortions, of course, they have got so many complications. Because when the girl decided to abort using unconventional means.
I mean, Judith, an example. You don't have to mention names. An example of a girl you've helped through this process who's come to you. This is the situation. We just want to maybe like hear a story of one incident or two incidents that you've handled in Malawi. An example.
Okay. The example that I would give is following the unsafe abortion, a girl lost the uterus and she had to be removed because of the means that they used. So it's something that it has a complication or a lifelong issue that will affect that girl for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that it's a burden because whenever she gets married, she will not conceive again because there was perforation and the uterus was rotten and then it has to be removed.
Judith Nalikungwi, a health practitioner in Blantyre and DW's George Mango, many thanks for joining us.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Now, several countries that have expanded the legal grounds for abortion have adopted guidelines modeled on international medical standards and now offer safe facility-based abortions. Good example is in Rwanda. There are safety measures under which unwanted pregnancies can be terminated under discretion. Now, for more on this, I spoke to DW's Nasra Bishumba in Kigali on how accessible is abortion in Rwanda.
So over the last 10 years, if you were to compare to, let's say, our neighboring countries in terms of access to safe abortion services, the legal framework in Rwanda is actually, it's surprisingly progressive, because if I could, for example, give you a glimpse into what the law says and who is permitted to access safe abortion services in Rwanda, I would say we have five categories. These are the minors, victims of rape, we have victims of forced marriage, those who become pregnant as a result of incest, and then, of course, we have women who get pregnant and then find out that the pregnancy could put them or the fetus that they are carrying at risk. Someone may ask maybe why I said that Rwanda is progressive. I say this because the legal framework in itself is interesting because besides women whose pregnancy puts them at risk, the law is very clear. It says healthcare providers are not permitted to ask individuals seeking these safe abortion services for example, evidence supporting their reasons for seeking these procedures.
So Nasra, does Rwanda have enough facilities to carry out safe abortions? And please just give us an overview of how it happens in the country.
You know, if we look at the statistics as of today, you know, from the National Central Health Implementation Agency, between 2020 and 2023, they reported over 4,000, around 4,300 women and girls having sought these services at hospitals. But we also know that these numbers are obviously expected to increase with the recent legal framework changes that were made towards the end of 2024. So before these changes were made, women and girls were only permitted to seek these services in hospitals that are public and private, as I mentioned before. But realistically, most of these women and girls, again, who are seeking these services, we're better off seeking them from health centers because, of course, of their proximity to the communities. Someone may ask, do we have enough health facilities to be able to do that? I say yes. Already, we have about 520 health centers in Rwanda, and these will be coming to add to the 57 hospitals that were already offering these services.
Thank you so much, DW's Nasra Bishumba, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Now that's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a vital part of our community. Your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us always. Your voice matters. Never forget that. Remember to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabi. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.